Well, good evening, church.
Good evening.
It's the first time I've done this year. I think I remember how. I thought we would start, since this is the first time I've done this year, thought we'd start with a challenge. And by challenge, I don't mean necessarily a challenge that we're going to issue a challenge, but I'm going to start with a subject that's going to challenge us, a thought that's going to challenge us, because it's going to be something that we're going to hear. We're going to say, well, I don't even want to think about that, but we're going to think about it anyway. I want us to think about the question, what if Jesus had not come? I can feel you tensing up already. And you're probably, there's at least one of you who's thinking, Michael's just making up weird questions to talk about. But in fact, this is a point Jesus raised himself. And we're going to start with that. In the 15th chapter of the book of John, you'll remember in John chapter 15, this is Jesus on the night before he was crucified, the night on which he was about to be betrayed. He's in that upper room with, at this point in the conversation, the 11 apostles, because Judas has already left the room at this point. And he's imparting to them the last teaching that he's going to give them before he's crucified. And in the 18th chapter of that 18th verse of that 15th chapter, Jesus says to them, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Mm-hmm. If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Mm-hmm. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. And notice the next thing Jesus says. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He continues, he who hates me hates my Father also. And notice he brings up the point again. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now, when Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, he doesn't mean sin just in general. He doesn't mean they would never have sinned. He's speaking specifically about the sin of them hating him without cause, and ultimately hating his disciples likewise. Jesus said of the people of his time, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. What does he mean by that? Well, we know that a righteous God does not hold people accountable when there's no law. God is not going to condemn someone for something that he never said they weren't supposed to do. Amen. In fact, you remember Paul makes that point on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. He says, truly these times of ignorance, God overlooked. He looks at all of these crazy things that the Athenians are doing in the name of worship, and he says, I realize that you're doing these things in ignorance, because nobody told you the law before, But now I'm telling you that God was overlooking these things. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And why is that? Why is it that now ignorance is no longer overlooked? Why is it that now all men everywhere are to repent? Because Jesus did come. And he did speak, both through the words that he said and through the powerful actions that he demonstrated. Because he had come, those who rejected him were now without excuse. Because he had spoken and he had been seen, and there was no argument but that he was the Son of God. And those who rejected him had no excuse for so doing. But here's the thing. Since Jesus raised the point, let's think it out. What if he hadn't come? What would be the situation if Jesus had never come? Well, first of all, if Jesus never came, God's first covenant would remain incomplete because Jesus came to fulfill God's first set of promises. He says that himself in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away." Not one jot in the original Greek text, that's the iota, it's the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet. Or one tittle. Again, in the original Greek text, it's the word kharia. It's a small written diacritical mark. Think about, for example, the crossbar of a T or the little mark over the first E in your name if your name's Renee. Just those little marks, Jesus is saying. Not even one of those will pass from the law until all is fulfilled. But some years later, the writer of Hebrews tells us that it had been. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, the writer says, "Then he said," he being Jesus, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. That's what he came to do. By his own words, he came to fulfill the law. Now, why does that matter? That if he'd not come, that covenant would remain incomplete. Because most of us in this room, Marilyn, You get a pass on this one. But most of us in this room were born Gentiles. We were not the people to whom those first promises were given. If Jesus never fulfilled that first covenant and initiated the second, where would we be? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 11. He says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time," that is to say, the time before Jesus fulfilled the covenant, "you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise." Those covenants were never given to us. We were strangers. We were aliens to those things. The promises that God made to those people were never made to us who were born outside of that covenant. But notice the next thing Paul says. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we are, folks, if Jesus never came. We are without hope and without God in the world. But now, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. That never happens for us if Jesus never comes. We are still out there, aliens, strangers to the covenants and promises of God, if Jesus never comes. We are still without hope and without God if Jesus never comes. If Jesus never came, there would be no gospel of redemption. Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 22nd verse, the writer says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. He doesn't say there's no remission except in certain special cases like you. He says there is no remission. If the blood of Christ is not shed on the cross, there's no forgiveness of sins. And yet, notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. If Jesus never comes and that precious blood is never shed, there is no forgiveness for our sins. There is no price that can buy us back. All the silver and gold in the world couldn't buy one soul. But the blood of Jesus bought us all. That never happens if he doesn't come. Amen. And in turn, there's no good news about salvation. Because the good news of the gospel is that salvation has come in the person of Jesus Christ. That good news can't be told if he doesn't come to make it real. That's why Paul makes that bold affirmation in Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek or the Gentile. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. There is no gospel, no good news, if Christ never came. But because he has come, there's salvation available to everyone. Everyone who believes and is willing to live by faith. You notice that last part. Mm-hmm. Believing is just the first half of the equation. But yet, without Christ, no belief would save us. No act of just faith would save us if Christ never came. Without him, there's no good news about salvation. And if Christ never came, there's no reconciliation. There's no path for us back to God. Paul says in Colossians, the 1st chapter at the 19th verse, for it pleased the Father that in him, that is to say in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile, to bring together, to make right all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Notice, having made peace by the blood of his cross. That peace doesn't happen. That peace between us and God, that peace that is only the wrath of God without the blood of the cross. And that's why he goes on to say, and you who once were alienated, and notice now he uses an even stronger word than he used in the passage we read before, you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. It wasn't just that we were aliens and strangers, we were enemies of God because of our wicked works, because of our sin. Yet now, Paul says, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, there's that word again, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. There's no reconciliation if Christ never comes. There is no path back to God if Christ doesn't come, because it is in his body, in his flesh, Paul says, that we are reconciled to God. That's why we have hope in the gospel, if we can continue in faith. Because if Christ never came, try to imagine it. How would we be reconciled to God? How would we get back to the Father from whom we had wandered away? There's no path. But as Paul tells us in Romans, the 5th chapter at the 8th verse, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, see there again, if that blood is never shed, how are we justified? We're not. We can't be. But much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. That anger, that righteous anger that God has because of sin. There's nothing we have and nothing we can do that can assuage that. But the blood of Christ did. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If Jesus never comes, that reconciliation can't happen because we are reconciled to God through the death of his son. And if Jesus never came, there would be no mediator between us and God. Paul says in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter in the 5th verse, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he doesn't put that word man in there just by accident. He's making a very important point by putting that word in that sentence. Because a mediator has to understand both sides of a dispute in order to be able to bring the parties together. And in our particular unique case, only one who has been both divine and human, been both God and man, could stand in between and be the mediator to bring humanity and our God together. Amen. if Christ never comes and puts on human flesh, there's no one who can do that. That's a job no one can accomplish until Jesus comes. Remember what John says in the first chapter of his gospel in the 14th verse. The Word became flesh. Remember who the Word is. Go back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And Paul in Philippians chapter 2 picks up that thread and says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. No one else could do that. And if Jesus never came and did it, there would be no one who could stand in the presence of the Almighty God and plead our case. As frail humanity, from the perspective of knowing what it's like to be us, if Christ never comes, there is no voice in heaven to speak for us. Only Christ could do that, and only because he came. And here's the big one. That if Christ never came, we truly would have no hope. Before Jesus came, people wondered, as Job did, if a man dies, shall he live again? Who knows? But Jesus provided a positive answer, speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, Job, he shall. Because Jesus came to make that possible. As Jesus said to Mary, the sister of Lazarus, in John chapter 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he's not speaking those words in the abstract. He's speaking those words as one who was both resurrection and life and proved it by rising from the grave. And that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, most of the chapter really. But notice what he says beginning of verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. If Christ never comes, if Jesus never puts on that body that was nailed to the cross, that body from which he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he abandoned that flesh on the cross. And it was buried in a tomb. And when they came looking for him on the first day of the week, to finish the preparation of the body, he wasn't there because he was risen. He is the resurrection and the life. But if he doesn't come and do that, we're still asking Job's question. If we die, do we live again? Now we know. Because Jesus has shown us. Yes. Yes, we do. Because he has done it. If Jesus had never come, we would still be separated from God with no way to amend that separation. If Jesus had never come, we would be without redemption or the good news of salvation. If Jesus never came, we could not be reconciled to God, because only he, through his flesh and his blood, could accomplish that. As we remind ourselves on the first day of every week, when we eat the bread that reminds us of that flesh and drink from the cup, the fruit of the vine that reminds us of that blood, we would be without a mediator in heaven to speak for us, to plead on our behalf, and to obtain our forgiveness. And ultimately, what that means is that we would be without hope, utterly, totally, completely without hope. But joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's chilling, isn't it, to consider all that we would lose if Jesus had never come. And you might think, well, why do we even need to talk about this? Because as the old saying goes, sometimes you don't know what you got until it's gone. And while we don't want to literally lose the benefits of Christ, we ought to think about where we'd be if we didn't have them. Because that will make them all the more precious to us. That will make him all the more precious to us. And make us all that much less likely that we'll ever want to stray from him and leave his side. Because where would we be without him? Maybe you're here tonight and still without hope and without God in the world. Because the blessings that Jesus came to bring have not been yet applied to you. Because you've not obtained those blessings through the process that he's provided, the means that he's given. But if you believe in him, why would you not finish the process? If you believe that he is the Christ, why would you not, as he commands you to do, turn away from the things of the world and turn to him? That's what that word repentance means. To redirect. Why would you not be willing to confess his name before others? Why would you not be willing, indeed eager, to be baptized into him so that you could be raised out of that water to know that all of these things that we've been talking about tonight that happened because he came are now yours? Why would you not want that? And if you're here tonight and don't yet have them, why would you leave tonight and not get them when it's so easy? The process that comes after, not easy. Because remember that whole thing about continuing steadfast in the faith. Sometimes that's a challenge. But starting the journey, not hard at all. Amen. Why would you not if you believe? And maybe as you've sat here as a believer, as a baptized disciple, and you realize that you've taken these things for granted, you realize that You have not made the things that Jesus came into the world to give you, that you've not made those as precious as you should. And you've allowed other things to become more important than he is to you. Why would you go home not making that right? Why would you leave here not committing yourself to do other than what you've done? And if you need encouragement, if you need prayers, there's a whole room full of people here willing to encourage you and to pray with you if you make your need known. If you're subject tonight to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that Sam's chosen for us?